Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
A high stick in front doesn't appear to have been called.
Yeah, give him the puck.
Give him the puck.
Give him the puck.
Sabres throw it away, and this is going to maybe go into the net, off the boards. Oh, my goodness, it did.
Give him the puck.
Do you think I had heard Rob?
Oh, yeah, Rob.
I watched the highlights. That highlight with the sound down.
Do you think Rob was in that moment less broadcaster and more guys? Listen.
He was perfectly representing what the fan in section 326 would have been yelling as they put it in their own net.
Would Lindy have been yelling that? Would everybody have been yelling? Maybe not.
Maybe.
The Sabres scored in their own goal. This is not a butt goal.
No, it's not, it isn't. It's not goalie deflecting it in to your own
net. It's not a goalie goal. It's not the goal. We had another weird one this year.
Okay, before the show, Josh says to me it's the first time like in the drought that they've scored on themselves like that.
Is that right?
And
it feels like it. I feel like we remember
just thinking
a moment
that was true. I'm over here thinking there's no way that could possibly be right. I thought that they did it earlier in the year. They didn't do it earlier in the year. The play I was thinking of is when a goalie scored on
them. A goalie goal, yeah.
That's different.
What happened there? I mean, you've had your own team score on you accidentally off of a stick or, you know, a skate or a butt.
The butt goal that Pesek scores on Mike Smith here is one of the craziest ways to ever score on yourself. If you would even call it scoring on yourself. The Coyotes scored on yourself.
Right, because the puck landed in his gear,
and then
he skated into the net.
Yeah, it was in his
We might have to do a retroactive as a goalie segment with Owen on that one.
Okay.
I mean, that's one of the all-time greats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, the puck lands in your pants. What do you do?
Like, any YouTube video you search that's like 10 craziest goals in hockey history, that better be on the list.
Owen, is there a drill for that? Is there some sort of preparation?
I think if you get the puck stuck in your pants, you just have to skate at the other net and see if you can't just bulldoze the other goalie into
He didn't know. We're back to a game against Arizona. Does that mean his equipment maybe was ill-fitting? How is it possible?
That's trying to have big pants so you take up more net so you can't feel the puck squeeze in there.
Right.
That's what that is.
He paid for it.
A lot of guys wear internal belts so their pants aren't tight, so they got those big pillowy pants.
Yeah.
That's what he would be taught to do, though. You don't know where the puck is. Just go back.
100%. Yeah, you get back to your goal line and kind of just try and sit and wait.
Yeah.
Go backwards. But what if it's in my pants?
Right.
Well, that's a risk we're willing to take.
Yeah. All right. A new one, though.
Yeah, a new one. The Sabres get scored on against them. They score. I mean, Tage, anytime goal? I don't get that.
I don't think so.
It's unfortunate.
I think it, no. You get the anytime goal of the Utah player that didn't probably touch it for 25 seconds.
Shouldn't hockey or even have more than that. Shouldn't hockey have own goals?
Like soccer does?
Yeah.
Yeah, cuz not every goal in soccer is,
if that happened in soccer,
it would have said Tage Thompson and then parentheses OG.
Right.
Right? And the OG isn't like the cool OG. It would be like own goal, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that would make sense.
In soccer, it can be pretty cruel, but not all goals that go in off a defender are own goals.
No, if it deflects off a player in soccer, it's not an own. I don't think.
It depends how far out it is. Or if the deflection, if the shot was going to go wide and then it goes in. Anyway. Yeah, the Sabres scored in their own net. With the net empty because they were down 3-2.
They were down. They were.
Listen, I view it as teaching new fans of the sport some of the, you know, funny little idiosyncrasies, the funny little features. Hey, why is the goalie not there? Hey, we scored in that net. Is that count? Mm. They made an announcement on the whatever on the PA system that it did count. So they explained that goal counts.
They felt the need to.
Yes. Funny enough, they actually called in Gene Steratore to do it for them.
You sure? Yeah. I think he was busy debating with water bottles on the court or whatever.
He was busy.
Good thing they were also introduced to the goaltender interference that we saw. That was a ticky-tack goalie interference that took a goal off the board for the Sabres. When you can't even see on camera. But whatever. Malenstein, I think, is the one in front. You don't even see him really touch the goalie, but he inhibits his space or some sort of language I heard on the Utah hockey highlight broadcast. Like, I don't know.
Who knows?
But whatever. They had a lengthy delay of checking if a player slightly touched the goalie and taking goals off the board because of it. So that's fun.
Yeah. Maybe you were watching the Sabres. Maybe you're watching the tournament. It was late night, chock full of basketball games.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a good opening day?
Mm.
I have a theory.
It wasn't early.
No.
It certainly wasn't early. When was the first time we had a close game was 7 o'clock. It felt like 8 o'clock. The afternoon, there was no buzzer beaters or big giant upsets. Not even close games. Everything was 15, 20 points apart.
Yeah. Sometimes a game would threaten to get close, and then it would not. Michigan beat UC San Diego by 3, but your margin of victory yesterday, we're looking at 10, 30, 25, 10, 9, that mm-hmm. Michigan game with 3.
Arkansas, Kansas late was good.
It was. That was Arkansas leading the whole way. Kansas got close. My theory is that we think that the tournament is 80% buzzer beaters in close games, and then you get to the tournament, and often it's about 20%.
Mm-hmm.
It's not nearly as breathtakingly, oh my goodness, as I sound like a hater here. I'm just hoping for a better day today.
Well, I don't even think yesterday was 20%. Yesterday felt like 0%.
Yeah.
Yesterday was nothing. Yesterday, the highlight was a fan throwing a water bottle on the court after the Louisville coach was screaming at the ref.
Yeah.
That was like the most memorable thing that happened yesterday. I'm on the ESPN scoreboard, like looking through it, and what is the like thumbnail for that game? It is the water bottle.
Yeah.
It's a water bottle on the court was the highlight of the game. So no, I don't want to sound like a hater either. Just no, it didn't. I don't think it lived up. At least yesterday, it didn't live up.
Yeah, a lot of double digits. I mean, 21, 15, 25, 30, 20, 10. 9-25.
I also don't want to do the thing that I'm kind of bracing for a lot happening today, which is, is NIL killing the NCAA? Like, trying to figure out why there weren't like close games yesterday, making it more than it was. It might have just been a day like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes days like that happen. And I don't like what they did. Yesterday I had mentioned that they have their red zone version of their broadcast, NCAA. It's called Fast Break. CBS does it. And for what I remember from that show was it was just red zone. It was maybe one guy you would hear once in a while that would just toss you from game to game to game, and then it would be the play-by-play and the color commentary, and they would just go to whatever game was in action. They've changed that show to now they're making it like a combination of red zone and like Manningcast, where there are four guys now sitting in chairs that are always on the show talking. So it's not really red zone anymore.
Yeah.
Because I don't get I don't get Harlan, for instance. I get these four guys that are talking. And I watched like 2 minutes of it, and all they were talking about is whether they should have contracts in NCAA sports and whether that would help like closer games. And I'm immediately just like, I'm not doing this. Take Factory while I'm watching one of these games. So I think it was just a bad day. That's it.
Well, a new day today. A new day dawns. More games today. For me, it's obviously tough. Without Syracuse involved, I don't have a region that I'm really keyed in on. I don't have a game that I'm living and dying with. You know, it's been a while since that has happened. So it's different. The thing I did yesterday, you know, you've got your bracket if you filled out a bracket, or you know, maybe you're placing some friendly wagers or some actual wagers. I saw something that I think last year in the tournament, if you would just bet underdogs, just bet under every underdog in every game, you would have come out way ahead, because underdogs tend to be undervalued, and it is upset season. And these teams, you know, matchups, blah, blah, blah. So I made a decision yesterday, and if anybody wants to do this today, you know, I might recommend it for a modest gambling if you want to try. I just bet $3 on, like, 12 different underdogs. Not a parlay, just $3 on underdogs. And some of those, you know, you're winning $3 because they're not that big of an underdog. Others, you're winning $40. Because, you know, UNC Wilmington, they lost, whatever. But it's the day, and I thought, you know, how do I want to get invested in this tournament? And I thought, I just want to root for the underdog every single time. So I bet $3 on 12 different games. And at the end of it all, I came out up $3. That's a win. I got to root for all my underdogs. I banked a little, $3. That's my exciting day.
Doesn't even feel like a win if you've only come away with $3.
Honestly, it feels like a win because I didn't come away with 12 losses.
And, you know, to be fair, if your goal is rooting for the underdogs, the one thing that I don't like is when I'm rooting too hard for my bracket. And, you know, like yesterday, Alabama State makes it close with Auburn at the end of the first half. And I don't want to be the guy that's going, I have Auburn in the national championship. I can't root for the 16 seed to beat them because it'll ruin my bracket. You want to root for the 16 seed. You should probably anyway, even if you have Auburn in your final or whatever in your bracket. You should just root for the 16 seed. Not that it got there anyway. They got blown out in the second half. So, you doing it again today?
I don't know. I might. Haven't decided.
You could bet all the favorites. Go the other way.
That return would be, but that return would be considerably less, because some of them, you bet $3, you're going to win 10 cents because they're such prohibitive favorites.
Right, because you only won, you were up $3, but what did you own? Did you win four of them? Five of the 12?
I think so. The biggest win might have been 14.
Versus if you bet all the favorites, you might need like 10 of 12?
Yeah, right.
To make that work?
Yep.
Because like if you bet $3 on Duke to win today, you might, where you're going to net like 10 cents.
The other thing about betting
if that.
All underdogs is if you do that and a 14 beats a 3, who had that? You could say, I did.
That's true.
It's part of a mosaic of just, I don't know, I threw a bunch of bets up there just for something to do while I was watching those games. Again, like $3 bets.
Well, my bracket's already busted trying to root for an underdog because I had UC San Diego in the Final Four. Did research on like who is the best sleeper team, Cinderella team. I landed on them, and you know, that's the risk of doing that is they're out in one night. Now it feels like it's over, even though they were close. They almost beat Michigan.
My toxic trait, you know how people say like, what's your toxic trait? Mm-hmm. My toxic trait slash old man-ism is I saw Yahoo Sports tweet out like, is your bracket busted? I think like I get not quite visibly mad, but the idea of how many perfect brackets are left? None. The answer is none. There's always going to the answer is always going to be none. No one's ever going to get it right. No one should expect to get it right. Your bracket's busted. Oh my God! Everybody else's is. Congratulations. That's my toxic trait. We used to on this show when I was younger and a little bit more obnoxious say nobody cares about your bracket. I'd yell about your bracket. Nobody cares about your bracket. It's fine. You can have a bracket and have fun, but. Man, the idea of, welp, there it goes this year. Like, yeah, right. Just like Wednesday comes after Tuesday. That's how this is supposed to go. This is normal. This is the progression of you're supposed to get your bracket busted.
Do you care about not getting the perfect bracket? But I did see an article. I think actually was it? Yeah, here it is. It was on the NCAA's website the longest an NCAA bracket has ever stayed perfect, what the record is.
No.
Okay.
You can tell me.
That's out there.
You can tell me. Is it into the Sweet 16?
It's 49 games. That's 2019, which went all the way into the Sweet 16. Picked through the Sweet 16 correctly. So okay. He got to the Elite Eight, and then he busted. So got one wrong. But that should go to show you right there. The yep. furthest anyone has ever made it was getting to the Elite Eight with a perfect bracket.
Right.
That's the record all time. So... yeah, you're not winning it. You're not getting the whole thing perfect.
No, it's very difficult to do. But anyway, hope you enjoyed your first day of the tournament. Today is day two. Weekend is fun too because weekend the games get a little better and whatever. The whole concept of it, I was explaining it to my kids. Like, hey, it's very simple. These two teams are going to play, and if you lose, you're out, and if you win, you keep going until only one team's left.
Yeah.
And explaining that, you know, who knows if they actually picked that up, but whatever. It was fun. And watching the games, trying to teach them a little bit about basketball. Just hey, this is going to be... it was basically a lesson in, this is going to be on the television for the next 3 weeks. You're just going to... when you look at the TV, mommy, you're going to see basketball. Because my wife loves basketball, too. So, you know, they're going to start looking at the TV instead of Sabres games or Bills. Yeah, college basketball for weeks. So, today's day two. 12:15 again. Is there a marquee matchup?
I don't think is it Baylor's the first one? Yeah, Baylor and Mississippi State. The first marquee, I mean, you have Nate Oates playing at 12:40.
Okay.
Alabama against, he won't be playing.
Is it okay to root for Nate Oates? What's the status of Nate Oates? Is there a
don't
root for that guy? Because I feel like I would root for Alabama to win this thing.
I find myself rooting for him and them. And I don't ever really feel the other side of that. I don't know why you would. I mean, he left, sure, but what
do you expect, right? It's not exactly right. Jack Eichel winning the Stanley Cup.
No, right.
He didn't leave on bad terms. He left on what do you expect? He went to Alabama,
yeah.
And they gave him a truckload of money and everything, and he's turned them into a power basketball school. And
right. They also play a super fun style. Like they're up and down the court, yeah. Tons of shooting, tons of scoring.
I feel like I should
defense.
Rooting, and I probably will be rooting for Nate Oates.
Yeah. I don't think there's another end of that. At least I don't feel
the other, I mean, they
like,
had,
oh, you should jerk, you left.
Well, they had their controversy a couple years ago about the player on the team and like the guy that was involved in a murder or whatever.
Okay.
It's a little hazy. I should look it up and get the details. But
there was something about the gun being in his car, but
right,
it wasn't him.
And
but,
who was telling the truth. So like, there's a little bit of, obviously, maybe a lot of bit of that, but.
Right. But not for the Buffalo connection.
Right.
Like, would I not root for him? In fact, that would make me want to root for him. Is that's the old UB coach that's doing that.
Yep.
I would be rooting for Alabama. The big game I would say of today, like the marquee game, is Memphis against Colorado State. That's a 5 versus 12. The 12 is favored though. So you got, if you're doing your upset thing, you have to figure out I guess you'd be picking the five.
That means I picked the five.
Yeah. So that game is one that I've seen highlighted by a lot of people, and that's at 2 o'clock today.
Yeah. 803-0550, our phone number. Paul Hamilton at 7, he'll give us the rundown on what happened in Utah last night. The Sabres lost a game in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And they scored in their own goal. And there's a lot of smoke about offer sheets and a good conversation about the Sabres offseason, what to expect, because whatever, it could get interesting in terms of their own players maybe getting plucked mm-hmm. by offer sheets. So we'll get to that along the way, get you ready for the tournament. There's also plenty of stuff on football contracts, and I don't know that a congressional law is required, but it's worth considering that the reporting and then the reality of these NFL contracts, mm-hmm. it's unbelievable. The T. Higgins contract is jarringly cheap and easy.
Mm-hmm.
DK Metcalf, oh, I don't want to give that guy $150 million. The Steelers aren't going to. They're paying him a totally reasonable price and timeline as well. Plenty on NFL contracts and some of the moves out there and how they kind of, I mean, everything's a big lie.
Bosa's contract is
Bosa.
Like crazy. That it's you pointed this out, didn't you, on Twitter, that his cap hit in year two is bigger than the cap hit in year one.
On a 1 year deal.
Even though it's only
a
1 year deal.
It's a 1 year deal, and it is a bigger cap hit in year two.
Right.
This is why I'm constantly telling you, stop worrying about the salary cap. You don't know how much money they have. They have as much as they want. You can figure it out. Now, next year, they're going to be $7 million dead cap on Bosa, on Joey Bosa.
Unless they sign him.
Unless they sign him. So, anyway, which means next year, dead cap on Milano and Bosa is $19 million if the two of them leave.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Plenty to get to. Rich in Lakeview before the break. Hey, Rich, good morning.
Good morning. You know what, guys? I can't share your enthusiasm with the tournament because just like a Buffalonian on a 76-degree day this week, I was, instead of enjoying it, I was worrying about it was going to be 40 on Friday. But the only thing I look, we got the tournament here next year. Arena's falling apart. We've got a hole in the ground that's been there for 13 years. The mayor says we have no parking ramps in the State of the City address. And we have to leave the parking lot across the street for Bass Pro FC. So, I don't know. And then we got the Sabres scoring on their own net. So, I was wondering, after watching this team play, is there an equivalent, and this is the serious part of the call, in the NHL, the Wanderlick test for NHL players like they do in the NFL to measure intelligence? Because I know Tage Thompson couldn't do one pull-up 10 years ago.
That was Mittelstadt.
Mittelstadt,
excuse me. My thing, Tage Thompson is, quote, "Well, I didn't know we had a delayed penalty coming." This is the second time that this situation has happened in the last 2 weeks where they just needed to let the other team touch the puck and with an empty net have a possible 6-on-4, 6-on-3. And I don't know. If the malaise in the organization is so much so there and playing out the string, I mean, say what you want, but just when you think, I mean, I wish I had a bingo card for most embarrassing moments because this is almost the cherry on top. And I don't know. I mean, you give Bryson extended contract. The guy didn't even know how to say Cheektowaga, and that's where the plane takes off for road trips. I mean, I just don't know how – I mean, as a 55-year fan, I'm not stopping the season tickets. I'm going to watch the game still. But I'm looking at these guys. I thought it was physical. They're just not that good. And when you hear Ray yelling at the TV himself, they're just not that smart. And that might be the worst part of it all.
Thanks, Rich.
There is definitely a lot of moments where you go, the hockey IQ of some of these players doesn't seem to be super high. I'm not – a Tage in general is not somebody that I usually have that thought about. So, yeah, last night was a moment where – sure, you want him to get the puck. There would be one thing, though, of not noticing it, and then there's another of noticing it and not knowing what to do. And that, to me, would be the difference there. When it happened 2 weeks ago, I think they knew there was a delayed penalty, and they didn't give him the puck. That is worse to me than, oh, you just didn't see it, which is what Tage said last night. So that's a little different. But I had these questions about Cousins a lot before he gets traded. And there are other players, too, where just gap. You're making mistakes on where you are. And Samuelson did this the other night with a breakaway. You're just in the wrong spot. You're playing a play wrong. You're dumping it in when there's a clear lane on the front. Like, I think Benson is honestly their most intelligent player on the ice sometimes, and he's the 19-year-old. So, yeah, I don't think it's an unfair criticism of a lot of their players. I wouldn't put it on all of them, though.
Sorry,
but I don't know.
I don't have much on it. I mean, teams make mistakes. It's we're getting another Dylan Cousins is now a brand new player. Took him a day, and he's a brand new player.
Did he do something again last night?
I mean, he like leads them in scoring and slot shots and
I saw that
quality
graphic.
Chances. Like he's just a brand new player immediately.
Yeah.
Is it because they're choosing to lean into him as an offensive player instead of thinking he's some sort of defensive stalwart?
Maybe.
I don't know. Anyway, I mean, if you can still get upset or bothered by a loss in midweek in March, I'm not amazed. I give you that credit. I'm one that when they win a couple of games in a row, I do not think they have, in fact, figured it out. You know, they lose to Utah last night. I don't think they played necessarily poorly, but they had a low light.
and
a pretty embarrassing play, scoring in your own net. But that happens, I guess. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. I'd forgotten the tournament's here next year. That's fun.
Yeah.
Tournament will be here. Good. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a ring if you want.
Cousins did score again last night.
He scored again.
They lost 5-1.
He's a brand new player.
Yeah.
Anyway. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy tournament day two. Happy Friday. Temps in the 40s. It's cold again. We had that glimpse of what summer and, you know, late spring feels like. We're back to cold for a while. We'll deal with it. We'll handle it. Paul Hamilton, top of the hour, to give us the recap on the Sabres. Your thoughts on, you know, the tournament. And we got to get to these contracts. The Bosa contract is really interesting because it I wonder if we can get anything from it. What does it mean? The numbers tell a different story than 1 year, $18 million. And it's not surprising that the Bills would spread out the hit. But the way that it's structured, maybe you've heard the phrase, void years. There are four of them. Void years on the Bosa deal, which means they're offsetting the cost an awful lot. 803-0550. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
A Turk in the far circle. Zucker, now you got your 2-on-1 on this side. Thompson takes the pass, walks in, nothing there. Brings it back to Zucker. Across, scores! What a passing play! And J.J. Paterka with the dart to finish it, and we are tied at one!
One of the first moments of the game. For the moments in your life, go forth to Firth Jewelers. Moments of the game brought to you by Firth Jewelers. Sabres fall to Utah 5-2.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
I was with Josh last week when Joey Bosa becomes an option. And I mean, his excitement of like, he like shows me the text. He's like, what do I do? Like, I got his number. I'm like, man, go call him. Go talk to him, you know? And he just like came back and he's just, you know him. I mean, he's just glowing because he's like, I went over there and I think we're going to do it. I think we're going to get him.
Yeah.
It's just so cool to see. Not only did you just get paid, not only are you a part of a program where you've won the MVP, you're having all success, but how much it means to you to have a pride in a place you play. And I think that's obviously the goal you want. Not just in keeping the guys, but they develop this pride of what you guys have in your building and continue to want to build on that culture themselves, not just you guys having to do it, but they want to be a part of that.
That's Andrew Whitworth talking to Brandon Bean, telling a story there. I love Whitworth. I think he's great. Great on Amazon, podcast he does with Fitz.
He's really got the hoodie and jacket look going, too.
He does. He also, he tells the story of the first time he met Sean McVay. One of the stories there is, because his career, where was he before? Cincinnati,
I know.
And
he's older than McVay, I think, when he gets to the Rams.
Right. Yeah. I think the story is some version of, he joins the Rams when he's 36, and he's told about this McVay guy. He goes in, meets him in 5 minutes, and he's like, I'm on board. I like this guy. Like, the way that McVay is able to command a room and let you, like, whatever. I don't know if it was, like, make you feel like he knew you for 10 years or whatever. He just loved the vibe right away and was sold on this super young coach. Like, I'm in. I'll play for him right now.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Andrew Whitworth. A couple things NFL-wise. Excuse me. You can give us a call on the Sabres. Lost last night if you want. On the tournament. We're getting contract details on a couple of different deals. Bosa is one of them. Can we start with DK Metcalf, though?
Sure. What's the? I don't even know the Metcalf thing.
The Metcalf thing. The DK Metcalf contract is out. 5 years, $150 million.
Right. $30 million per year. Right?
I don't want to give DK Metcalf. Right. I don't want to give DK Metcalf $150 million. I could never do that. The details are out. 2 years, $30 million per. And then an out. Yeah. After 2 years, there's an out with a dead cap of $18
million. Yep.
That's it. That's it. That is a I wish the Bills had done that number. His cap hit this year, DK Metcalf's cap hit this year is $11
million. Yeah.
On a
nothing.
5 years for 30, it's $11 million. And like the cap is so it's my new axe to grind because the cap exists to make you think you can't get good players when you definitely can. Mm-hmm. And it has just occurred to me today. This is today that this occurs to me. That we all know the NFL contracts are reported to look like something they're not.
Yep.
And if you ask anybody in the NFL world, like, well, why is that? Well, the agent's good for them. It's good for the agent for Metcalf. I mean, Adam Schefter's going to tweet his or her name, and say, so-and-so negotiated a $150 million deal. So it's good for the agent. It occurs to me today, you know who else it's really good for? NFL owners.
Yeah.
Owners get the perception that they have committed unbelievable amounts of money that they have not committed.
Mm-hmm.
They did not commit $150 million to DK Metcalf. They did not commit 5 years to DK Metcalf. But it looks like it. Yesterday, the Cincinnati Bengals, they were dunking on people in the media who thought that they would not pay T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
And turns out they did pay those two. The details on the Higgins contract are unbelievable. If you kind of can't believe Higgins would have accepted it, because here it is written at ProFootballTalk.com: $20 million roster bonus right when he signs on, but the only guarantee at signing is $10 million for next year's offseason roster bonus. Basically, the Bengals have a year-to-year option on T. Higgins. They can pay him $36 million for this year if he hits all his bonuses and plays every game. And then they can move on before next year becomes guaranteed. The Cincinnati Bengals, who just signed, a four-year, $120 million contract for T. Higgins? It's roughly a one-year, $36 million guarantee.
And then they can do whatever they want.
And the 36 is not guaranteed, is to earn that.
Yep.
Yeah. These owners get away with pretending they've paid more than they did.
Yeah.
And we all just buy it. And we all say, well, I guess you can't have a guy like DK Metcalf. The cap is too tight. No, it's not. You can have that guy.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm mad about the Bills not getting DK Metcalf. They should have paid him. They should have done that.
Yeah.
The package was not too bad, and the money's not bad.
What's the thing I want to look at then to kind of determine, even on that front, like who's really spending the money? Who's really, you know, because the cap is 280 whatever, but you can really spend. The point of the Bosa contract is you could put, is he on a 1 year deal?
He's on a 1 year, $18 million deal.
Bosa? 12. Yeah. 12.
Sorry, you're right. 1 year, 12.
Yeah.
Khalil Mack was 18. One year, 12.
In his situation, okay, like on the cap at least, you'll end up paying $12 million, but you can put the money wherever you want. That's maybe the biggest point here is you can put money wherever you want. Bosa, Joey Bosa, who's on a one-year contract in the year 2025, will cost the Bills in 2029 $1.8 million in 2029. 3 years after he's maybe played for the Bills, he'll still be costing them. It's almost like a planned buyout on a contract like you would have in hockey just ahead of time. So you could do whatever you want with it. So do I want to look at what? Just total cash spent on a year to find out, like, all right, who's the most? Because the Bills are number one in that this year. Mm-hmm. Right now for 2025, total cash spent this season, at the moment, the Bills will be number one at $304 million.
How much of that is because they spent the cash on Josh Allen?
Probably a lot of it.
Yeah.
Probably a lot of it.
And, right, and they just signed a bunch of extensions. Rousseau, Shakir, yep. Bernard. These are brand new extensions.
And a lot of that cash is probably getting paid now, even though cap isn't?
All guaranteed money has to be paid right away.
Okay. So
it goes into escrow.
So that would be a reason why, then. Is they're paying their own guys, I guess? Next year, they'll be fourth and right. Like, as the time goes on, well, 2027, they go back to number one ahead of time. So whatever, they're still near the top of the list. But, like, if you want to look at the Bengals for that, you mentioned how it's, like, a one-year thing. Like, they're right back in, like, 20th in 2 years on this one number,
yeah,
at least. So really, you could just put the money wherever you want.
Well, Bosa, a $7 million dead cap number next year, it'll be interesting. The best case scenario for Bosa, one of the best case scenarios is he's awesome.
He's awesome and he stays healthy.
If he's awesome and he stays healthy, yeah, you're going to want to get a deal done, if you're the Bills, as soon as possible.
Right.
And extend him. The fact that he's got a $7 million dead cap hit next year because his number is low this year and they moved all the money around means he gets like five sacks in weeks 1 through 5.
Yeah.
Sign him.
Do it then.
You might want to. And
yeah,
I know you want him to stay healthy into the playoffs, and you also might want to bubble wrap him until he gets to the playoffs. But if he has a monster year, he hits the open market. And while you have a $7 million dead cap number as incentive to bring him back, mm-hmm, he could just leave and go somewhere else.
Right. And that's happened to them. Leonard Floyd did that to them 2 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. 1 year deal, and he had a double digit sack season, and he went and he took another deal. He went elsewhere for bigger money. Didn't Clowney do the same thing?
He's moved on almost every
he's done that a lot.
All the time after 1 year.
But he took a 1 year deal. All right. I'm looking now. He took a bunch of 1 year deals. But his most recent 1 year deal that he took in Baltimore, and then he had a very good year with the Ravens, and he went outside a 2 year, $20 million contract. So the price went up.
Yeah.
And he got an extra year. So if that happens, though, with Bosa, I might still be hesitant to do it in the middle of the season because of his injury history. I just would be afraid that he has 5 sacks in 5 games, and, okay, he looks great, and we have the 7.2 next year, so let's pay him. Let's give him a 3-year extension. And then between that point and the end of the season, he has a major injury. Because then that's not going to feel great. Because that injury risk is always going to be there for him. So I might want to see a full season of him staying healthy, especially before, if I were the Bills, I'd really want to lock into him and commit more than I've already committed. Because they've committed a little bit, but it's spread out. It's very spread out over 5 years.
Yeah, I mean,
5 years.
on a deal that's not that expensive.
Right.
So they're keeping that number low. So it is a low-risk gamble, but it's now a lower risk gamble over 2 years than it is a 1 year gamble because of the way the money is being spread. Anyway, sorry, boring salary cap talk. But you can kind of.
But that's the Bosa conversation right
now.
That
is the. Right. Yeah. This is where the contract can lead you into what they expect. Hey, will you take $12 million? It's not really that simple. The answer to that is sure, yeah. And it's 9 with incentives here and this and this and this and this. But the way that it is put on your own cap tells the story of what you might be willing to do a year from now. So that's the Bosa deal. Get a Bosa jersey? Like, would you bet on him being here a second year? It might not be a bad bet. He says he wants to win a Super Bowl. He knows he doesn't have very many years left. When we talked to our guy in L.A., the Charger guy, said, this guy wants a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. If he comes here and they get close, there's no doubt they're going to want him back if he's good.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're close, I feel like you'd want to stay. So Over-under seasons played with the Bills. Joey Bosa, 1.5. I might put 2 as the favorite. Restructure, ooh, extend. I might put 2 as the favorite.
I would just be, man, I might bet the under just because of health.
They also
and the Bills' treatment of health. If he is banged up all year, their motivation to keep him around might change.
In two different cases, they've extended the time with the Bills for both Milano and Vaughn off of seasons that were basically fully lost to injury.
Well, at the same time, though, they also shrunk
that's
the
right
amount of time that they're with
that's
the
right
Bills. Like, they took a year off of Milano's contract.
Yeah.
Right? While also, well, with Vaughn, very quickly, because we didn't do this with Milano at all. Last year when Vaughn took that pay cut, I remember it being said and thinking myself, oh, they took a pay cut because maybe they made it clear to him or they made some indication that they weren't going to keep him, mm-hmm, that they were going to move on. Were they about to do that with Milano? Did right Milano take a pay cut because they were going to move on otherwise? Now?
What would the number have been? Was it possible at all?
I think it was possible. It would have been sizable. Like double digits, I think.
Yeah. 803-0550, our number on cap stuff, which can sometimes be boring. And sorry if it was. It's Friday. Happy Friday. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550, our phone number. Jump in the chat with us. Hang out. They're all talking about, I don't even know, weird stuff.
They're
talking about Sal. I checked in on the chat.
Sal, they were trying to figure out who my jersey is, and okay, nobody has got it right yet. And I would be surprised if somebody does.
Is that because it's a player that never played for the Braves?
Didn't play for the Braves, but did wear a Braves jersey in an NBA game.
There you go. There's your hint, everybody.
Yeah.
803-0550. I checked it on the chat during the afternoon show, and it's a lot of the same cast of characters. They're just here for, you know, morning and afternoon.
They're regulars.
They're putting in shifts. Love to have them there. You can give us a ring. Paul, top of the hour to recap the Sabres' loss in Utah. It's Friday. Tournament Friday. I have a great idea for 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Great idea for 9 o'clock. I know it's only 6:47, so you know you just have to wait till then.
And Scott tracks down the rebound. 2-on-1 the other way. Lewis and Wiltshire. Lewis with the hammer!
Rick Pitino and St. John's on to the next round. The 32 doesn't have a name. Thrilling 32.
Round 2.
Thrilling 32. Sweet 16, Elite 8, Final 4.
Do you think we should have a nickname for all of them? We have first 4.
Yeah.
So we need something for 64 then, too.
Starting 64.
I like starting it. 64.
What's the 32?
Thrilling 32 is not bad. Let's see if we find something else.
Feels like thrilling is not great, though, because
yeah,
sweet to elite. What's you know, anyway.
Here's some NCAA tournament trivia. There have been 4 Division I programs that have appeared in 10 straight tournaments. Who are the 4?
4 programs in 10 straight tournaments?
Yep.
Okay. Duke?
Nope.
No, I'm sorry. Michigan State. Let me start with Michigan
State. 27 in
yeah,
a row.
I saw that yesterday. Larry, Tom Izzo, 27 in a row.
That is not the longest streak. There's one program with a longer streak than 27.
Gonzaga.
Gonzaga, 26 in a row. That's correct, but they're third. 26 in a row for Gonzaga.
Okay.
The number one answer to this has made it 35 tournaments straight. And they played yesterday.
This is where you're going to hit with, like, McNeese State.
No.
You never know.
35 that's in a row for
that's how Gonzaga has been that long. They're just the
also, were they saying McNeese State yesterday? They were pronouncing it differently than what I would have thought it was.
Okay, Gonzaga, Michigan State, and not Duke.
Kansas.
35 in a row, and then there's one school that's made it 10 times in a row. This one would be the toughest one, I think.
Okay.
But in like a big conference.
Big conference. 10 in a row.
Yep.
Houston's made it a lot lately.
Yep, and they are not the answer.
Purdue.
There you go. Kansas, Michigan State, Gonzaga, and Purdue.
Purdue lost as a 1 seed or 2 seed?
They lost as a 1 seed. Were they the second? There were 2 1 seeds that lost. Virginia lost to UMBC, and then there was another one, and I think maybe that was Purdue.
Yes.
They lost as a one.
Fairly Dickinson.
Fair. Beat That's Purdue. The 16 seed?
Yep.
Tough.
It's the thing about being a one seed. You can't even enjoy the first day of the tournament. It's all stress.
Just stress, yeah.
Just don't lose here. Paul Hamilton on the other side. Thanks for instant trivia. When we return, Paul will break down the Sabres' loss in Utah. Have some long-term questions about the Sabres and offer sheet stuff and their offseason. And also want to ask Paul about, you know, like Lindy and how that might be going for year two as we get closer to year two. So stay tuned. Paul Hamilton joining us next. We'll take your calls on the tournament, on lots of different things. And, yeah, happy Friday here on WGR.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.